Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Good to see you virtually again.
Yep. I miss coming to church with all those donuts and the snacks.
And yes, Lorenzo loves the food, too.
I can eat four of them.
All right.
Okay.
Advent means coming. It's a time of longing, watching, and praying for God's transformative presence to be ever more abundant in the world. In this sense, Advent is a season in which we focus on the key phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come."
If ever there was ever a year we needed Advent, this is the year. We need the arrival of hope, peace, love, and joy to overcome the darkness of fear, division, hate, and heartbreak. We need Advent. We hardly know how to describe the year we have lived through. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in 2020. All we know is that nothing seems right. Nothing seems like it used to be. Nothing. We need Advent.
The psalmist cried out for us. I have given up all hope, and I feel numb all over. I remember to think about the many things you did in years gone by. Then I lift my hands in prayer, because my soul is a desert, thirsty for water from you. Please hurry, Lord, and answer my prayer. I feel hopeless. Maybe.
We light this first candle as a sign of our hope. Hope that you can meet us, even in the mess of our world. Hope that you still see us, though we feel we are lost in the rubble. Let this light be the guide that brings the God of hope to us once more. Wherever we find ourselves today, loving God, remind us that our hope is in you.
Be with us on this journey. Amen.
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 Bye-bye.
We love you and we miss y'all.
Want to just welcome everybody officially to church. I'm glad that you are tuning in. I'm glad that you're joining us, whether you are joining us live, whether you're joining us at a later time watching the recording, or whether or not you're listening to the podcast. We are out there in many places that we can think of, and that we're trying to branch out and reach people as many ways as we can. That's why we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, and we're also on a podcast that you can subscribe to. And it's all about getting that word out. It's all about getting the word out. There is no greater task that we are called upon than to help share the love of Jesus Christ. A lot of people, we think that it just stops with the accepting the love of Jesus Christ, but it doesn't. That's where you're getting equipped with the tools. It's the sharing that we have to do next. And so we never look at our church as a structure, as a building. When we first opened this church, it was just a small little cart. We had this shopping cart that we would take, and we would put things in it, like for communion and stuff like that. And we would wheel this cart, and when we first started, we would wheel it over to a bar over here. Sometimes I wish we stayed there. But we would wheel it over there, and we'd set up, and then we would have church, and then we would put everything back in the cart, and we'd wheel it back. And then eventually we started to wheel the cart over to a... is that when we went to the little theater in an apartment building, right? A little clubhouse. And we went over there, and we'd unload, and then we would have church, and then we would load it back up, and then we would, and then we were blessed with being able to open a permanent location, which is here in Fallbrook. Can you take a wide shot by chance? I'm just throwing things at you. I know that, I'm sorry, I'm messing with the multitasking here. But if you've never been to Neighbor's Church, this is what it looks like. It is a small kind of a People call it kind of a coffee shop, storefront-style church, whatever you call it. We like to just call it cozy. We like to call it a place where people can relax, and more importantly, it's a place where people can come in and be themselves. It is so important for us that you understand and that we reach people and remind them that God loves us for who we are. That who we are is something very, very, very special. We have a lot to offer. We have a lot to offer our world. We have a lot to offer each other. Sometimes we want to put our faith into things that are a little less solid. We want to put our faith into some things that are a little more short-term, or the here and now. Or our insecurities, they cause us to put our faith into things that we think would do better than we would. But God is calling each and every one of us individually to help to accept the love of Christ and to share the love of Christ with the rest of the world. It's not, our church will never be about the pastor. It will never be about the musician. It will never be about the building. Our church will always be about the love of Jesus Christ, always. And if we are not, everything that we do, we have to ask ourselves. Our mission in life is to love God, to love ourselves, and to love our neighbor. And everything that we do as a church, we have to ask ourselves, are we fulfilling that mission? Are we jumping into something that's just bells and whistles? Are we jumping into something that's just kind of a short-term thing? Are we jumping to because we just want to bring people, you know, into the door so we can just count how many people we have? Or are we truly doing what we're doing because of that mission? Are we helping connect people with God? Are we helping connect people with their true, honest selves? And are we helping connect neighbor to where we become friends? I pray that we are. I pray that we are. Sometimes it can get a little little exhausting. Sometimes it can get a little tiring. Being a new church start, you have so many people that you rely on to help you to build that message. And from the beginning, we have had people that have believed in this message and have come together, and that has expanded and that has grown to where more and more people are coming. And if you are joining us for the first time, or if you've been joining us for a little while, and you are part of this church. You are the bones and the structure of this church. And I want to thank you for that. We are in a first season of Advent, and the Advent season we're going to be covering the traditional, I guess you would call it, Advent themes of hope, peace, love, and joy. Hope is something right now that a lot of people have struggled with over the past 8 months. Some people it's been longer. We have had a lot of things happen in our world that has shaken things up a bit. It's caused us to rethink things. It's caused us to readjust. It's caused us to turn a little bit this way when where we want to go is this way. We've struggled a little bit with that. We are a church that relies on community. We love we call ourselves neighbors. But in the last 8 months, it's almost felt like the pandemic has made our neighborhood invisible. I'm thankful for the technology that we have to where we can see people even like the Ganses, you know, lighting that Advent candle to remind us that our neighborhood is not invisible. We just have to think differently of how we approach things and how we see things and how we count our blessings. We may have a certain idea of what our blessing would be. And maybe the pandemic, the the year 2020. Maybe one of the things that's allowed us to do is to rethink what some of those blessings are, or to look in other places to find those blessings. Sometimes thinking differently or adjusting is not all bad. It's not all bad when we think of things in the long term. Oftentimes we think of things in the short here and now. We are people that want what we want when we want it, and we want it right now. Our technology, we complain if we're trying to watch a video and it freezes up on us for 12 seconds. Those 12 seconds seem like a lifetime, and we get very impatient. We get impatient when we have to wait in line very long. We get impatient when we order something online and it takes more than 48 hours to get here. We're in a world where we want what we want when we want it, and we think about things and we hope for things in the here and now. In the here and now. But what if we were able to think of things way in the future? What if we were to expand our view and our purpose in life as something that would expand beyond even our own existence here on earth? You know, the Israelites throughout history have had their ups and downs. They were the first people that God reached out to and said, I want you to spread the news that as people are worshiping all of these different kinds of gods, I want you to know that there's actually just one, and I'm it. I want you to know that you can rely on me, and I want you to know that I'm here for you, and you are the generation that is going to share that news and spread that news. So you're going to be the first generation to know that there is one true God, and you're going to spread that news. You see, when that first happened, the Israelites were not even called the Israelites. It was just people. And those people would create different idols, different gods. They would carve things out and say, I'm having trouble having kids, so I'm going to build a clay thing, a god here, and I'm going to put that on there, and I'm going to pray to that. And magically, I think that's going to give me the kids that I want right now. Or I'm having trouble with my livestock, so I'm going to create a little magical thing, god there, and I'm going to stick that there, and I'm going to pray to that, and that's going to give me that. And then I'm going to have all of these different gods for all these different things. It's almost like a shopping list of various things to serve various things. And what they wanted to is they wanted to have the results of the things that they prayed to here and now, just like we do. We think that our short attention spans or our impatience or our wanting what we want when we want it is somehow new to us. It's somehow we always blame it on the new generation. But it's been going on for as long as people have been going on. And one of the things that God tried to teach us from the very beginning was patience. You know, there's a story of Moses where he was able to escape Egypt with his people. But it took him, God made him wander around for 40 years. 40 years in a trip that would have taken them much less, but he knew they weren't ready. And so he made them pause and wait and wander. And sometimes we don't like that wonder. We don't like the mystery of that wonder. Sometimes we don't like that when we don't have the results that we want when we want it. 800 years before Christ was born, 800 years, the Israelites were separated, and they were surrounded by different factions and different powers, and they were at wars. It was a time of great violence when people were, armies were trying to take over lands. If you can think about the United States are pretty much set. We know that Nebraska, and we know that the boundaries of Nebraska is what it is. But what if you were in Nebraska? What if you were in Lincoln, and Omaha was always a threat that they were going to come in and try to take over Lincoln? Or what if you were in Lincoln, and you wanted to expand your world? It would be all about how much you could get, how much you could take over, how much control you could have. And that's the time that the Israelites were living. And they tried to make deals with different people, and they would be overthrown with different people and all of this kind of stuff. And at one time, they had what they would call prophets. And prophets, some people confuse prophets with people that could see the future, as in like sorcerers and things like that. But prophets were not sorcerers. They were people that listened to God. They were people that would pass on everything that God would share with them. They were called, at their time, they were called prophets, they were called teachers, they were called pastors. And they were there to give good news sometimes, warnings sometimes. And one of the prophets, Isaiah, was there during that time, 800 years before Christ was born. And as the world around him was all about what you could get, and what it was all about power, and it was all about annihilation, it was all about war, it was all about control, it was all about empires being formed, it was his job to remind people, to plead with people, that it's not about the short-term game, it's about the long-term. And the long-term is where our faith is. We have to have faith to be able to believe in things we cannot yet see. And during that time, Isaiah continued to get frustrated because the rulers of the time were more concerned with how much they could get, or how what alliances they could make, or who had the power, and all of this kind of stuff. And it actually led to the people of Israel actually being kicked out of their own land. And the whole time that Isaiah was working with these folks, he continued to plead with them and remind them that it's not about any of this stuff. It's not about politics. It's not about possessions. It's not about weaponry. It's not about power. It's not about the here and now. It's about what we leave for them. And when I say them, I mean the next generation. Imagine if you lived your life every day thinking, what I'm doing now, what ripple effects do I have for the next generation? Imagine if we lived our lives actually thinking that I'm not here for the 90 to 100 years that I might be living. I'm here for the people that will come after. I'm here to start something that will be continued. I'm here, like the old saying, I'm not leaving the world to my children. I'm borrowing the world from my children. Are we able to think in the long term of things? When we plant the church here, neighbors, are we thinking about the here and now? Are we thinking about today? Our comforts, the things we like, the things that, are we thinking about what will neighbors be like 100 years from now? What will neighbors be like 200 years from now? The faith that we are experiencing here, the faith that we are sharing here, the echoes of our own personal struggles and our own personal triumphs, the things that we are doing here and now, what effect will we have planting here? What effect will that have 800 years from now? We often think, what can I do that would last that long? But when we come together, when we believe in something, it can last eternity. After all, that's the whole thing that Isaiah was trying to tell people, that it wasn't about the here and now, it's about eternity. Imagine the things that you do today, the decisions that you make today. Are you thinking forever? Are the things that you're worried about, the things that you want to achieve, the things that you desire, the gifts that you want, how much importance do they have when we think about the ripple effects of what we will pass on for years and years and years? Is our hatred with a neighbor, is our war with a country, is our prejudiceness worth what we think it's worth in the here and now, if we think about what ripple effects does me hating them have for generations to come? What choices am I making? What examples am I giving? What is my legacy that I am leaving? Is it one of indecisiveness? Is it one of hatred? Or am I helping to pass the love of Christ on? Am I taking it like a baton in a race? And rather than stopping and coveting it to myself, or rather than not trusting anybody, or rather than building a wall just around my people, am I truly living my life where I am passing that baton forward? Sometimes we have to rethink things. Sometimes we have to redefine things. Sometimes we have to take our anger and find a way to deal with it to where we can turn it into something progressive. And sometimes we have to learn words like forgiveness. Sometimes we have to learn words like being able to share the things that we are feeling. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we do get worn. I shared with friends the other day that there have been times during this that I have just wanted to give up. You feel like I'm not making a difference. I'm not doing anything. Nobody wants to hear this guy all the time. Maybe the church would be better if I just left it and get someone else in charge. We share the things. We share the things that burden us. We share those vulnerable feelings that we have. We share our weaknesses, because it's our weaknesses that are truly where our strength is found. Because our strength is truly found in our faith and in our friends. And sometimes we don't understand our faith or our friends until we actually deep down share the things that are worrying us, the things that are troubling us. Sometimes we have to deal with the issues here and now so that we can pass on the faith to those that come after us. 800 years before the birth of Christ, before everyone even knew about Christ, before we ever knew what a song Away in the Manger would have been, 800 years, this prophet Isaiah, this teacher, this pastor, this prayerful person, he talked about hope. He talked about, you are in a time right now where it seems like it's about power. It seems like it's about war. It seems like it's about annihilation. It seems like about who yells the loudest is in charge. Let me remind you that it's not. Let me remind you that it is about a quiet voice. That what you identify as power is the opposite of what true power is. He said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. In other words, the things that you are feeding, this war thing, this hatred, this annihilation, this taking over, this possession, this power, is only going to be used in a fire. And then he throws something out there. For a child has been born for us. A child. A son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In a time when people think about possessions, think about putting their faith into armies, putting their faiths into people with power. Isaiah 800 years said, it's actually a child. Think about a child. Think about a baby. Think about an innocent baby. Because that's where faith is. That's where what you would call power is. That's where your love is. It's the opposite of sometimes of what we truly think and what we get caught up into and the insecurities that we have and all the worries and everything like that, because we measure ourselves with a monument of unrealistic goals because we want to be what we're not. But 800 years before he was born, somebody said, it's not going to be that way. You're looking around and you're thinking you're seeing a king and a warrior and all of this kind of stuff. It's going to be a child. It's going to be a baby. Born in poverty. Unable to care for themselves. It's going to be a child. My hope is that we give the next 800 years hope. That a seed was planted and we start to rethink our thoughts. We start to rethink the priorities we have in our lives. We start to think about the long term, the next generation. What are we leaving them? Are we sending forward the petty arguments that we have? The worries? Or are we being like a child and just sharing ourselves? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, help us remember, it's not about us. It's not about the things that we think are powerful today. It's not about power. Help us remember that we are seeds being planted, and the things that we do, the things that we are, the things that we celebrate, the things that we judge will have ripple effects. Help us plant the seeds of love. Help us to do what we can so that the next generation, the ones that come after us, know that you are love. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. My prayer for us this week is that we share our hope. And sometimes in order to share our hope, sometimes we have to share the things that we feel hopeless about. I pray that we have those conversations. In fact, I invite you this week to share the things that you're hopeful for and the things that you find challenging that get in the way of that hope. We deal with things here and now so that we can pass them forward. My prayer is that we are planting seeds of hope for them 800 years from now. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Amen.